Monument. You are a monument to your own beauty. You with your thin hair, your brown eyes, you are the reason this room holds amazement. Miracles, you sparkle with being your own self. When you walk, you are afraid, you feel there is too much of you, that your breasts speak more than you'd like to, that they hold up conversations with men you find brash, boring, cruel, or simply normal. You are a monument to your own sacredness. Your body is amazing. It takes you through your day. It can walk, leap, eat, sleep, give pleasure to yourself or those you choose to let in. It is a miracle. It is a monument to who you are. And he doesn't worship enough. He doesn't look at you like a cathedral, a temple, a shrine to the river goddess, the beauty you hold inside that needs only to be pressed, gently coaxed with a joke or a smile, a caress, to come out and play. Come out and play in your own monument. You are so beautiful, and you must see it. This miracle in its largeness, its huge, shimmering beauty, so much that men like him are confused by it, try to worship and pelt it with eggs instead. Even covered with fetal chicken goo, you are gorgeous. I don't care what he's done to you. I just want you to remember that you are a monument to your own beauty, and I worship here for who you are.
Here we come, dwelling down, deep and wide, settle down, on the beach, get a sound, coming down,
good evening. I'm Julie Peters, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. That's Gold Frat playing in the background. I'm going to let it run for a little bit because I like it. It's Wednesday. This is Audio Text, your Canadian writing show. I was speaking to my friend Jody Nolte the other day, and she and her fiancé have been listening to my show occasionally, and I thought that this was wonderful because she is a yoga teacher and her fiancé works in film and construction. The two of them sat down together and they listened to the show and they loved it. They loved hearing the poetry. They thought it was awesome. They really enjoyed it. And these are two smart and interesting and sensitive people who thought that poetry was kind of too distant or pretentious for them, but they loved the show anyway. And this means that I win, because that's exactly what I wanted to do with this show. I wanted people who hadn't really been exposed to that much poetry, maybe, you know, found it a little intimidating, didn't really enjoy it. These are the people that I wanted to be listening to the show. And the fact that they enjoyed it really means a lot to me. And there's also a lesson in this. The lesson is the couple that listens to audio text together stays together. So keep that in mind, listeners. It's very important. So the poem that I read at the beginning of the show was another one of my own poems. I wrote it for the Poem a Day Challenge. I thought I would share these this month just because I find it kind of interesting to be putting myself out there in that way. April is Poetry Month, and partly to celebrate, I'm doing the Poem a Day Challenge from the Poetic Asides blog. The web address for that is blog.writersdigest.com/poeticasides. So Robert Brewer, he posts a prompt every day, and you're just supposed to put something in the comments. You don't have to do it every day, but then you just double up the next day, so you have one for each day. I've only been stuck on one day so far. I have some horrible poems and some that I like a little bit more than others. So that's what I'm doing there. And I really encourage you, if you feel like you want to get your creative juices flowing, to go check out that blog and just write some poetry if you feel like it. Anyone can do it. You know, you don't have to have a university degree to write poetry. It's a pretty basic form of expression that, you know, if you can walk, you can dance. If you can talk, you can sing. It's, you know, if you can be in the world, you can write poetry. I guess it's a sort of a extension on that one. So a couple of listings for you, literary things happening around the city over the next week. Tonight, April 15th, Wednesday at Café du Soleil, it's a night at the Indies. There's going to be a short film slam, and it's going to feature R.C. Wislowski and Janet Panic, who's a singer-songwriter. R.C. will come back in just a minute on the show. I'll explain a bit more about him. Also tonight, Wednesday, at Momar Cafe, which is at Main and 28th, there's another Writers in the Round. I think it happens once a month. It's just an event with featured writers and an open mic hosted by Kate Polsky. April 16th, Thursday, in the Peter McKay Room at the Vancouver Public Library, Heather Pringle is going to be reading from her book, The Master Plan, which is a story of scientific and political abuse on a global scale. So it's a little bit more than nonfiction, but should definitely be really interesting. April 18th, also happening at the Vancouver Public Library, from 12 to 4:30 p.m., the BC Book and Magazine Fair and the Words Connect Book and Magazine Fair is going to be happening. I'm going to explain a little bit more about that next week. It's happening, it's starting starting on Saturday, and it's going on until next week. And there are going to be a lot of different events going on. I'm hoping to get some interviews about that. There's books, zines, magazines, everything. So that should be a really interesting thing to check out. But kicking off this Saturday, 12 to 4:30, just go to the Central Branch and check out what's going on there. There's sure to be something for everyone. Happening Monday, April 20th, Café Montmartre, which is Main and 28th, as I said. The Vancouver Rape Relief and Women's Shelter is presenting the launch of the book The Johns, Sex for Sale and the Men Who Buy It, with author Victor Malarek and UBC law professor Janine Benaday. You can find out more information about that at bwss.org. Tuesday, April 21st, that's almost a week from now, I can explain the rest next week on Wednesday, is the anniversary of Al Purdy's death in year 2000. There's going to be a tribute night at Café du Soleil to that Canadian poet, with readings and stories by George Bowring, Lionel Kearns, Sean McGarrigle, Heather Haley, S.R. Duncan, Jamie Reed, Rodney DeCrew, Al Mader, Warren Dean Fulton, R.C. Wislowski, and others. So it should be a really fun night. Everyone can get a little drunk, talk about Al Purdy. It should be great. So that's happening at Café du Soleil, Commercial Drive, and 5th. Another event coming up very soon on April 20th is the finals night. The Vancouver Poetry Slam is having a night where the 8 top poets of the season are going to be competing to be on the Vancouver Poetry Slam team. It's kind of a big deal. It's happening at the Rio Theatre, and it's going to be featuring Shane Coizan, who you might have heard a little bit of on this show previously. And so in order to promote that event, I'm going to be playing some of the winning poems from these top performers. So the one I'm going to start with, I've mentioned R.C. already twice today. He's also a friend of mine, R.C. Wislowski. Great guy, amazing poet. And this is one of the pieces that he did from the semifinals. It's, I don't know the title. I'm calling it Wet Spaghetti.
I just wanted to say it is an honor to be here, and thank you for allowing me to do this. This is a new one. Hopefully you dig it. It begins with betrayal. I'm not being able to express the crushed grape in your chest, the taste of morgue in your mouth, and how the lions in your eyes are all dying. Your voice has become mummified in a sarcophagus of incest. But the Egyptians use honey to preserve their vital organs, and so your mind begins to flower, and you come up with new ways of speaking. Mohawks on skateboards, tattoos underwater, guillotines of scarring. Maybe you become bad weather, all thunder belly and hailstorm, acid rain tarantulas making the world barren. Maybe you become music, because it's the only thing you've ever loved that's never hurt you. Maybe you become empty coffee cups on the sidewalk, paper pizza pie plates in the dumpster. Maybe you're the stoic forest, clear cut, never replanted, slowly eroding with red wine and vomit. Maybe you take to fucking like a badge, like plastic, like a Holocaust scarecrow with a gun in its mouth. Maybe sex disgusts you like the barbed cocks of hogs, caterpillar cum, your father calling you a faggot, your stupid little faggot, just for wanting to kiss that cute boy. Maybe you wish everyone would just shut the fuck up. It's none of their business. No one knows what you're talking about, and no one can speak for me. And you're right, I can't, and I don't want to. But until you stop jumping off of bridges, running into traffic, and hanging yourselves in residential school bathrooms, I'll keep talking, because I know what it's like to wrap yourself up in the barbed wire of your past, bleeding so badly no one holds you. I know what it's like not wanting to have children, because you fear that you'll hurt them, treat them like wet spaghetti to see if they stick to the walls. But maybe, just maybe, one day you'll discover the god they use to abuse you is a sorrowful crow of disaster, an infectious disease that you never knew you were immune to. And maybe one day you'll understand it is possible to go from being dead air on the radio to tambourine, crackle, chocolate myth goddesses, mop-top beer cardiologists, tagging your lives on the blistering lips of the sun.
Please welcome to the stage Nora Smith Heisler, everybody.
People tend to look at me funny when I cry in Starbucks. They wonder, is her pumpkin spice latte too pumpkin? Too spicy? Too latte? Did Starbucks fail to kill the last remnants of latte, thus giving her actual espresso? Or is she crying because in Starbucks, the latte is dead? Economic students ask themselves, is it corporate America that broke my heart, or the fact that I just paid $5 for a skinny venti cup of pumpkin spice flavored latte death? The humanitarian's sake, it may be the lack of the fair trade coffee takeover. Mothers assume I'm crying over spilled brevi, and the skinny boy with thick glasses, Value Village clothes, and trendy shoes assumes I'm just an emo girl crying in a coffee shop because a true emo kid cries everywhere. But they're wrong. Although my pumpkin spice sugar bomb is a little too latte, I'm actually crying because I'm studying. Specifically, studying physics. More specifically, studying physics on April 30th, 2005. Much more specifically, studying physics on the one-year anniversary of April 30th, 2004, which was, most specifically, 3 days after April 27th, 2004, which specific time of 5:35 p.m., she threw herself screaming off the edge of life and bound me to her nightmare forever. I'm making a scene. Because I am attempting to grasp basic quantum mechanics 3 days after the one-year anniversary of the end of a 17-year, 11-month, and 8-day era, 22 days before her birthday, 3 days before our prom, immeasurable moments before it was too late, and all I can think about is the time it takes for one bullet weighing 9.6 grams fired at an initial velocity of 914.4 meters per second to reach the roof of her mouth from 1 centimeter or 2 centimeters or 3 centimeters away, and then I'll calculate the speed of said bullet after passing through the skull of one human being with a thickness of 1 centimeter and density of 2.9 grams per centimeter cubed, and then I'll calculate the height of the spray of gray matter on her walls and the rate in centimeters per second of the expanding pool of her blood for both the radius and the circumference of the stain, taking into account, of course, the absorbent properties of carpet. And then I'll find the time it took for all my synapses to fire to figure out what happened the next morning while Chelsea sobbed in my arms and Joe said her name and everyone hugging me like I'd just been found after 3 years of team searching the Brooks Range, and by quantifying this instantaneous chain of radioactive decay, I'll hypothesize the time it took for all the atoms in my body to realign, and while slipping through this quantum floor, I'll calculate the weight of guilt by multiplying all those times she was there for me against that one time I wasn't there for her. Exponential support times support to negative one. And using that, I'll measure the force with which it pushes down on my life. And all the while, I'll be thinking about the relativity of pain and how the time it takes to grieve the rape of Nanking or the firebombings of Dresden or the obliteration of Hiroshima or the whole goddamn rise of the Third Reich is so much greater in terms of tragedy per human being against the force of one suicide, and it means so much more to everyone else except me.
Nora Smith Heisler here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, one of the finalists who are going to be competing for a spot on the Van Slam team this Monday, April 20th at the Rio Theater. More of that coming up after these announcements.
Jazz is a word that means many different things to many different people. The best definition of jazz that I know of is the jazz show on CITR with yours truly, Gavin Walker. Monday nights, 9 to midnight, with the jazz feature at 11 o'clock. Check us out every Monday.
What is that? I know what that is. That's music.
For $15, the Friends of CITR card scores you in-store discounts at Beat Street, Red Cat, Vinyl, Scratch, and Audio Pile. Support Vancouver's finest indie radio station and pick up your card today.
What do you want to do with your life?
I want to rock.
Is shrinking. The point is, we should be thinking about love and hope and each other and trying to do the right thing a little more often. Even if it does take just a little bit more effort. And that's all I really wanted to say, but.
Trevor Spilchin, up next, Duncan Shields.
Put your hands together now for Duncan Shields.
Most of all, it funds the entertainment of the rapidly growing, uneducated, apathetic, lethargic human race. For those of you not listening to the money that drifts down from the sky, the coins and bills falling from the pockets and wallets of the billionaires, the gods that walk among us, the 460 men and 13 women that own the rest of us, I have this to say. Turn your face up to the copper ring of pennies from heaven, the small change that's sprinkled from Lear jets to keep you complacent, and catch those coins on your eyes for the journey. I am one of the people that own you. I am the latest billionaire. I am the product of 36 years of backstabbing, buck passing, and martini lunches. I was inside trading back before Czechoslovakia became the Czech Republic. My dividends diversify like cancer in a 12-year-old. I have piles of blue chip stock shining to platinum records. Hope won't let you travel the world and love don't pay the payments. North America has hit hypocritical mass. I bet almost none of you have even been to the countries you want to save. Wall Street is an oxymoron, in case anyone paid attention. Wall Street. It's an architectural contradiction. Streets guide you places and walls get in the way, and it's you that are the crash test dummies of this particular dead end. Slaves were sold on Wall Street, that's how it's got its name. The walls were high, the slaves kept in, that's how it got its fame. Ain't nothing free about a free market. You are all poker chips in the game of life we play every day, and we're never bluffing. The term egghead comes from the Nazis, who said that no matter how smart a person is, their head will still crush under a jackboot like an egg. And I think they were just paraphrasing Darwin when they said that. For those of you who believe yourselves to be enlightened atheists, viva la evolution. Money is the root of all evil? No. What it says in the Bible is the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, let me tell you, I love money. Dollars wrap my dreams in cotton bills and euros euthanize my guilt. My bonds don't bind me and I am not held captive by my stocks. My common sense are precious metal, my labor is small hands in poor countries, and my products are innumerable. I want to glue typewriter keys of my initials to the heels of my shoes so that I can stamp my monogram with every footstep deep into the gold bricks of the yellow road I'm following. Wall Street should change its name to something more symbolic of the spirit of commerce that drives it. I think Wall Street should change its name to Commercial Drive.
Dungan Shields, a crowd pleaser for sure, a poem about the man. Again, the finals are happening at the Rio Theater this Monday, April 20th. Now, I believe in balance, and though I know slam poetry is amazing, I thought it might be good to have something a little bit different, too. So I picked some poetry to read today that was pretty much the furthest thing that I could think of to read from slam poetry. And this is from a play written by a poet, George Eliot Clark. I actually wrote my master's thesis in part on this play. It's called Cabetsate. But one of the things that I found most interesting about the play, I won't get too much into it, we only have about 5 minutes left, is that he does this amazing thing with stage directions. It is a play, and usually you think of stage directions as these very utilitarian things that don't really have very much poetry to them. They don't say that much about the dialogue or the characters, except unless you analyze them quite deeply. And George Eliot Clark does something that I've never seen before with these things. So I'm just going to read you a few of the stage directions. And whether you understand what's going on in the play or not doesn't really matter. Just listen to what he's doing. Maybe think of them as prose poems. This is from Scene 1, Devant le Château Frontenac. In a blue lilac dust ignited by light petals of rain, the very pollen of cream-blossomed April, Ovid holds a black velvety umbrella. He is dandy in a candy pink shirt, mauve jacket, and natty black pants. A gold crucifix dangles from the gold chain girding his neck. Wearing a French chiffon gold and turquoise sari and holding a mirroring umbrella, Lakshmi faces her wannabe Amadou. Her look is sandalwood-infused ivory. Her earrings are the excited Golconda diamonds. The pair stands on the Terrasse Dufferin before the fantabulous Gothic-styled Chateau Frontenac. Grey gargoyles jut from a low roof, but cream flesh-colored blossoms arc upwards to meet them, as if in love. A bass co-mixes with the church bells chiming in bluesy discord. Ovid gestures at a flowering, glowering tree. Scene 2, A la Révolution Tranquille. In this scene, it is seen that Malcolm hoists a saxophone to his lips, a suave man in a black suit. His crisp white shirt offset by a skinny black tie, he stands in a corner of the nightclub that a crimson fluorescent sign declares to be La Révolution Tranquille. A poster features Malcolm in a dour pose in dark sunglasses standing before the equally surly Malcolm States Quartet, featuring AJ on piano, Sans Souci on bass, Blue on drums, and Cetil on trumpet. The bar itself, tones of warm maple and silky gray stone. In one corner, a small shrine to Chinese ancestors and deities glows red to summon good luck. Scene 1. Trop d'amour. Bells chime out at dawn while Malcolm slumbers. Colette in tangerine bra and panties dons a short pink chiffon skirt and a sun gold silk shirt, then gold knee-high stockings, and then, before a full-length mirror, a liberal party red beret. She steps into lipstick pink high heels and a fluorescent gold backpack, then kisses Malcolm, who awakes, sits up, and looks into sun-wicked eyes. Final scene. The lovers exit as couples, riding Vespa scooters, then church bells, horns, sitar, Chinese violin, pipa, harmonium, harp, tabla, and thumb piano co-mix. The Quebec flag descends from the rafters, but its four panels are here beige, pink, gold, and indigo, and its fleur-de-lis are correspondingly violet, orange, black, and crimson, and its cruciform segmentation is green. So that was actually the stage directions from George Eliot Clarke's, I think it's 2005, Cabessete. I thought it would be interesting just to listen to what some stage directions could be like. It's published by Gaspereau Press, and it's a story about interracial lovers in Quebec in the present day. It's a really interesting piece, and something a little different from slam poetry. So I hope you enjoyed listening to that. I hope it wasn't too unclear what it was that I was reading. I hope also you listened and enjoyed the recordings that I played on the show today. I also hope you'll be back next week to listen to audio text here with Julie Peters at 6 p.m. on CITR 101.9. Coming up next is Sam Squanch's Hideaway. If you ever want to contact me, audiotechcitr@gmail.com are my digits. Thanks for listening and see you next week.
just for a while. Drag it out for a couple of miles. Don't spend the night out on the tiles. Cause you need to sleep, you need to dream, you need to slip into places unseen. Slide into space with the snow on the screen. Lazy bones, that's what they'll say. But you don't need to make a dime today. Lazy bones, that's what they'll think. You just stand on the shore and watch them sing. You can float, you can fly, like branches and boats and birds in the sky. Beyond the beyond, leave your troubles behind. And when you awake in the middle of the night, sleep in your eyes, no one in sight. Come knock on my window, I leave on the light.
I live your life, life of your own. Light on your feet, feeling alone. Light up the sky, why would you fight? Under the stars that light up your night. Taking your time, making your way. Taking your breath, pacing your day. Waving your hands from your hazy home.
Lazy bones, that's what they'll say. But you don't need to make a dime today. Lazy bones, that's what they'll think. You just stand on the shore and watch them.
Choices you make.